Good afternoon. This is Shir HaShishi. This is the sixth class on Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud, and Rav Kook. But today, I feel like I need to prepare everyone.
Yeah.
Right. What we're going to see today is an example of not just the Zionism of Rav Kook, but the religious Zionism of Rav Kook. And I want you to be prepared, because sometimes we can separate between the Zionism and the religious element of it. But this is a very deep, intense Torah, about how deeply connected the connection to Eretz Yisrael is through the Torah. So I want you to recognize that this is coming from a very, very deep religious perspective of this idea. And if you know that, it can become easier to sort of handle what feels like a very, very strict religious approach. But if you recall last week we discussed the idea that Rav Kook develops that the Torah itself is somehow greater or more readily fulfilled, if we may, in Eretz Yisrael. And he said then that the purpose of the Torah is to be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael in a way that that wouldn't apply to Chutz La'aretz. Right, one second. So when he talked about the idea that Hashem says to Moshe, using the Shemot, Ekiyah, I will be with them in Eretz Yisrael, I will be with them when they go into Galut, that somehow Moshe was saying, no, for the Torah, they need to sort of take the approach that they're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, here, Rav Kook is going to take this to a much deeper level, which is what we said with last week. And so it starts from a very interesting story in the Talmud. So we're going to read the story inside. You'll see already the struggle in the story between the connection of Torah and Eretz Yisrael, and then we will see how Rav Kook expands and elaborates on this. So this is on Samach Gimel, Amud Aleph, 63a in Brachot. Amar Rav Safra. Rav Safra said, Rabbi Avahu hava mishto'e. Rabbi Avahu used to tell stories. I think this itself, we could stop here and talk about this concept, that part of the Mesorah of the Jewish people is not just the Mesorah of rules, but a Mesorah of stories. Because the best way to give over ideas is sometimes not so much to tell you the idea, but to tell you the story about this idea. So we have in our tradition, every rabbi, every teacher that I've ever had, besides for all the Torah that they were bringing through the generations, they had stories that they would tell. So Rabbi Avahu used to tell the following story. Here's the story. Kishiyarat Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yehoshua, or Hanania in some places, but Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yehoshua Legola. When Chanina, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yehoshua, if you're familiar even a little bit with some of the characters and people involved in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehoshua is one of the primary people in terms of the names that appear in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehoshua is one of the great students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yehoshua is one of the teachers of Rabbi Akiva. Right, Rabbi Yehoshua.
The nephew of Rabbi Akiva developed Christianity.
Why do you say that?
Rabbi Yehoshua, no? Rabbi Yehoshua wasn't the one.
No, there's another person called Yehoshua ben Parachia, and he was a Rebbe of Jesus.
Yeah,
but that's a couple of centuries before this, or so, right? Interesting. So Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Legola. So Rabbi Yeshua is this great rabbi. He had a nephew, Chanina, who was also one of the sages of the Mishnah. So when he went to the Gola, when he went into exile, and you, if you recall, in those days, the Gola meant Bavel, he continued his job, which was to run the Jewish calendar in Chutz La'aretz. In those days, they didn't have like what we have today, which is a fixed calendar. Today, I could tell you, you know, what when Pesach will be in 100 years from now. But in those days, it was a system of taking witnesses and seeing the moon and all of that. And it was the special job of the prime court to run the calendar. And so Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, when he went to Gola, he was in Chutz La'aretz and he was still running the calendar. And the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't like this. Shagru Achrav, so they sent after him, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, two Torah scholars. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, that was the first Torah scholar, and also Ben Beno Shel Zechariah ben Kavutal, and the grandson of the great Zechariah ben Kavutal. Kevin Shara Otam, when he sees these two rabbis, Amar Lahem, Lama Batem, why have you come? So now, things you have to understand. They're coming here to reclaim the right to run the calendar from the greatest rabbi in the world. Right? I mean, he's the one who had this role, he had this job, and they're coming now to take that away from him, to say to him, it does not belong to you in Chutz La'aretz, it belongs to us back in Eretz Yisrael. So they have to be careful how they speak with him. They can't just say, right? So he asks them, why have you come? Amrule, they said, Lilmod Torah banu, we came to learn Torah. Hichriz aleihem, so he pronounced on them, amazing, these two wonderful students, Anashim alalu, these great men, Gedolei hadorhem, they are like the leaders of our generation, he's complimenting them. Va'avotehem shimshu bebeit hamikdash, their fathers, their forefathers, served in the Beit HaMikdash, Ka'ota Shoshaninu, and he quoted the Mishnah in Masechet Yoma that says, Zechariah ben Kavutal Omer, Harbe Pa'amim Kariti Lefanav B'Sefer Daniel, that the Kohen Gadol was required to stay up all night on Yom Kippur. He wasn't allowed to sleep. So in order to keep him awake, they would read to him. So Zechariah ben Kavutal would say, I remember reading Sefer Daniel for the Kohen Gadol. So he was so happy, he said, what wonderful Torah scholars you are. Hitchil hu metameh. So he started to explain why a certain situation was tameh. Vehem metarim, and they argued, no, it's tahor. They were challenging him. Hu oser, he said something was prohibited. Vehem matirim, and they would explain why it's permitted. So suddenly he thought he was going to get these two great scholars who were going to study under him and learn from him, but they're challenging him. Everything he says, they say the opposite. Hichriz aleihem, so he pronounced on them, Anashim alalu, these men who have come, shel shav him, shel tohu him, they are false and they are empty. Amurlo, they said, nope, kvar banita. You've already built us up. You already gave us the accolades. You already gave us a confirmation. V'iyata yachol listor, you can no longer break it down. Kvar gadarta, you already placed a boundary around us. You gave us compliments. V'iyata yachol lifrot, you can't break it down. In other words, you've already accepted us and you gave us these compliments, so now you have to continue to accept us and to recognize that we know what we're saying. Amar lahem, so he says to them, if neima ani metameh v'atem metarim, ani oser v'atem matirim, why are you challenging me this way? So then they said, Amru lo, they said to him, Ifnei, Shata ma'aber shanim v'koveya chadashim b'chutz la'aretz. You are working the calendar, you are adding months, and you are establishing the new month in chutz la'aretz, and it's supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. Amar lahem, so he says to them, what are you talking about? V'halo Akiva ben Yosef, everyone knows who that is, Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbi Akiva went to Chutz La'aretz, he was able to do it. Amalulo, they said, Hanach Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is different. Shlohiniach kamoto be'Eretz Yisrael, because there's no one like him in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Rabbi Akiva could do it even in Chutz La'aretz. Amru lo, they said to him, so he Amar lahem, he said to them, Afani lo anachti kamoti be'eretz Yisrael. When I left, I looked around to see if there was someone who could take my place, and there was nobody there. So I will also continue to run the calendar outside of Eretz Yisrael. Amru lo, they said to him, Gidiyim she'inachtu nachta nasu tiyashim balei karnaim. You're right, when you left, there was no one like you. But the kids, the baby goats, they've grown up. They've become great big goats with giant horns. Now listen to this language. Ve'im shagrunu atzlacha. And those great goats with the big horns, they have sent me to you. They've sent us to you. Ve'chein amru lanu, and this is what they said. L'chu ve'imru lo, go tell him, bishmenu in our name, that he needs to stop and stop trying to arrange the calendar from chutz la'aretz. Im shomea, if he listens, mutav, then everything will be good. Ve'im lav, and if not, yehei benidui, yehei benidui, and he will be excommunicated. And then, samach gimel amud bet, no, the other side.
That's the other side.
Ve'emru la'achenu shebegola, and tell all the Jews in chutz la'aretz. Im shomin, if they listen, mutav, it will be good. Ve'im lav, and if not, if they don't want to listen to us, Yalu lahar, let them go up the mountain. Achia yivne mizbeach, Achia can build his altar. Chananya yinagem bikinor, Chananya will play his violin. Let's go. Ve'yichabru kulam, and they will all deny God. Ve'yamru ein lam chelek be'elokei Yisrael, and claim they have no portion with God of Israel. In other words, if the Jews in Chutz La'aretz don't listen to us and stop doing the stuff that belongs in Eretz Yisrael, then they can go build a Beit HaMikdash and they can go build an altar and they can worship idols. They have no portion with God. Miyad, immediately, ga'u kala am bevchia, the people started to cry. Ve'amru chas v'shalom, yesh lanu chelek b'elekei Yisrael. Of course we continue to serve God. The kolkach lama, but why are they being so? What's this all about? Tell mishum shenamar, because the pasuk says ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem miYerushalayim. The Torah comes from Tzion. The word of God comes from Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara bishlomo hu metar vehem metamim. If he says it's tahor and they say no, it's tamei l'chumra, they can be more stringent. But if he says it's tameh, they say it's tahor. How could they do that? Vatanya, we know chacham shetimeh. Once a chacham says something is tameh, ein chavera rishai letaher. You're not allowed to say tahor. Asar, if one chacham says it's asur, ein chavera rishai lahatir. The other one can't say it's mutar. And says the Gemara, kasavri, they thought ki heich la nigru batre. They had to disagree with everything he said, but in order to show the people that they should not follow him. Interesting story, right? Fascinating story.
Nothing changed.
Well, but what Rav Kook is going to try to understand here is, what is this really about? I mean, they're saying that the job to run the calendar has to be run by the rabbis in Israel. And he says, who should do it? The biggest rabbi in the world, wherever they are. Even in Chutz La'aretz. So what's the struggle here? So again, I'm going to read the words of Rav Kook, but I want you to appreciate that Rav Kook is also almost like a Hasidish Rebbe, in the sense that he's bringing his ideas together into very deep, deep spiritual concepts. It says Rav Kook like this: Kidoshim ma'od hema kal pratei v'dikdukei Torah. Every detail in the Torah is holy. Kedoshim ma'od, very holy. Not moral, which it is. Not meaningful, that's not where he's going. He's saying it's kedoshim. Every detail in the Torah is holy. Ashrei nizhar bahem. Fortunate is the one who keeps all the details of the Torah. Umekaimam ba'ahava, and fulfills it with love. Not fortunate is the one who follows the Torah. That's not what he's saying. Fortunate is the one who follows the Torah ba'ahava, with love. V'oy lo l'mi shedash ba'akevav. Woe to the person who treads with his heel. Afilu diktuk shel mitzvah kala, even the smallest detail of a mitzvah. Interesting, again. Not oilo to someone who doesn't keep the Torah. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the attitude, right? The person who steps on and says, this is not important, this is not meaningful, this is silly, or this is not, right? That, when you're dash ba'akivav, you stamp it with your heel, oilo, woe to him. Amnam, however, shoresh kedushat ha'pratim, tzricha liot nikeret. But you have to observe the Torah in a way where it's clear where the holiness is coming from. You know, sometimes you see a person who's very medakdek and a mitzvah with every detail, but it doesn't look like he's doing the mitzvah for God. And almost like they're doing the mitzvah for themselves. That's missing. Right? The details have to connect to their source. Mipnei shehem anfei haklal shehem ba'im imenu v'nimshachim elav, and because it comes, they're branches of the general concept, and they're drawn to the klal. Meaning, again, I'm repeating the same idea, but that's what he's trying to say, is that all of the Torah has a goal. And that goal, as we'll see, is closeness to God and connection to the Almighty. And all of the specific details, like how you should wash your hands before you eat and how you keep Shabbat and how you keep Chagim, all of them, they have to connect to the klal, to the general concept. Otherwise, it's just your tradition, your habits. That's not the way to keep the Torah.
Right, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, שהם דקדקו במצוות, אבל לא היו טובים לאדם וחברו, והם נפטרו במגפה.
Right. Yeah. Anytime you have someone who's so learned, but is guilty of sinat chinam, like, where is this coming from? Right? If you're so learned, then shouldn't you also get along with people? That's important. But it must be that the wisdom is just for the sake of wisdom, and it's not reaching back to the source of it all. Right. Very good. Right. The haklal. This is Rav Kook and his religious Zionism, so you have to hear the words. Shekol haTorah kulat luya bo, one of the rules which the entire Torah depends on. Hu kiyum am Hashem b'chol tzivyono utmimuto, is the survival of the Jewish people in its greatest state. Shehu efsher davka be'eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people in Chutz La'aretz are missing something so important that they're missing of the basic construction of who we are. And so you're not, if you're okay in Chutz La'aretz, and you're, right, so he's saying, we're not okay. It's a, what we would use in Talmudic terms, a b'di'eved kind of observance, meaning it's like a plan B. Right? If you're trying to cut something, trying to cut a wire, so you need special pliers. What do you do if you don't have pliers?
You bend it.
Yeah, you do some other thing. That's not the right way to do it. I'm using a silly example, but you know, what it means is, any time that you're supposed to do something, you're supposed to do something in the best way possible. And the best way for the Jewish people to be is in Eretz Yisrael. Alkein, Basher Kedushat Hazmanim, one of the details in Judaism is time, the holiness of time. We don't say Shabbat is a day of rest like it's a day off. Shabbat is holy. It's kadosh. Mm-hmm. Right? You are elevated, the air is elevated, the world is elevated, the whole planet is holier on Shabbat. Hi ha-yesod shel kiyum ha-Torah v'ikreha, the holiness of time is one of the foundations of the fulfilling of the Torah, and its principles is one of the most important factors. In fact, if you look at the Torah, what's the first mitzvah that the Jewish people got as a nation? HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim. Time. This is Nisan. And Nisan will be when you have Pesach. That's the first mitzvah. Because Hashem can't tell them to keep Pesach on the 15th of Nisan if you haven't first established the calendar. So the calendar is the introduction to the first mitzvah, but also if you go back to the beginning of the Torah, what's the first creation? People like to say, Et HaShemayim ve'et HaAretz. But actually the first creation is Bereshit, which means time. In the beginning. In the beginning means time. Right? So first Hashem makes time, and then says the first creation after time is Shemayim v'aretz. Bereshit bara Elokim et Hashemayim ve'et haaretz. But first you have to create time. So time is part of the basic trunk, so to speak, the base upon which the Torah sits on.
Would you say that the secular Zionists also view time as a reason for Zionism because they saw that during their time there was a lot of anti-Semitism toward the Jews?
I wouldn't say so. I'll just say, meaning that there's a difference between time and opportunity. Right? So the meaning that they don't think that there's something about the time that's appropriate as much as now is the opportunity. So for example, after the Holocaust, the nations of the world really had no choice but to let the Jewish people have a safe place after what they saw happen to them in the Holocaust. So then they would say it was a good opportunity, but not because the time itself was somehow ready for it. That's a religious concept of a Mashiach, of the concept of Kate.
When Herzl developed Zionism, he did it before the Holocaust.
Right. But again, he wasn't saying so much that it's the time that's calling for it as much as the opportunity calls for it, right? He wasn't coming from the Holocaust, but he was coming from the Dreyfus affair, right? So he was still coming from that element of anti-Semitism, and that was a response to that, right? He was a journalist, and then but it wasn't because he was feeling like he may have borrowed some of the ideas of the concept of a kates of a geula, but that's really much more in the world of religious Zionism, which is that the time itself is calling for it, right? Okay, so he says time is hara shlema nitzchiyuta. Time is one of the indications of the permanence of the Torah. She sholetet al azmanim, because the Torah controls time. Ve'en azmanim sholtim aleha, and the time does not control the Torah. So therefore, if the main element of the Jewish people, the real place where we are, who we are supposed to be, is only in Eretz Yisrael, and time is also part of what comes out of the Torah, that the Torah is deeply connected to, then you can really only have control over time in the calendar. Tzricha liot shaycha le'Eretz Yisrael, then it belongs to Eretz Yisrael. Because in Chutz La'aretz, you have a diminished connection to Torah, and therefore you have a diminished control over time. But in Eretz Yisrael, where you have the greatest possible connection to Torah, you have a greater connection to time. Lahorot, and this teaches you, again, hear this, these are the words of Rav Kook, ki ein afshar l'Torah ha-kedosha shetukar betur dat nifredet mi'atachlit shel kiyum ha'uma u'gedulata b'chol tzedadeha. Let me say that again. Ein afshar, it is impossible, l'Torah ha-kedosha shetukar, to look at it, b'tur dat, as a religion, nifredet mi'atachlit shel kiyum ha'uma, from the purpose, the ultimate purpose of the survival of the Jewish people. You cannot look at the Torah of Chutz La'aretz as equal to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Because if you do, then you are looking at a diminished, a lesser level of connection to Torah, and you're calling that okay. You are taking away from the Torah. You can still have Torah and Chutz La'aretz, which is what he's going to explain soon, but you have to see it as less. Because if you see it as the same, then you are diminishing the Torah and its eternity.
That's serious.
Yeah. V'rak az, only when you see it this way, yushpa shefa kodesh mi'aklal el pratim, then you can draw the greatest level of holiness to the details. In other words, if you understand that, let's say you light Shabbat candles. When you're lighting Shabbat candles in Chutz La'aretz, you are a little bit less lighting your Shabbat candles than when you're lighting it in Eretz Yisrael. If you can see it that way, then you can draw down the proper Kedusha, because you understand where you are. But you can't see the Torah as separate from its full fulfillment, because then you lose something.
You know, Rabbi used to say, the Israelis that came down to America, that they were an emoshot, I don't know how to say, very bad word. And I'm thinking now, maybe you took it from here, because here
I mean, this is, yeah, this is how he's reading it. And you yeah. can, this is religious Zionism, right? Okay. Right? And it's interesting to me, I mean, we're going to keep going on this, and he's going to build this even further. But I don't know if most people who call themselves religious Zionists, or use that term about themselves, realize what it is that they're supposed to feel or believe. I think people just think religious Zionism means that you think that the development of the State of Israel is what's referred to in the Tefillah, Reshit Tzmichat Gulatenu, that's part of the redemption. And I think people say, okay, that makes me a religious Zionist. It doesn't. What it makes you is a Zionist who happens to be religious. But that's not a religious Zionism. Religious Zionism, what it really means, is that you believe your Zionism is an aspect of your religious understanding. Meaning, it's your Torah perspective, like what Rav Kook is explaining here, that in order for you to be in order for the Jewish people to be observing the Torah, they must have this perspective of Eretz Yisrael. That's religious Zionism. Right? And it's definitely not taught this way. That's at least not from what I've seen, the way people express it. Aval bihinatel ha-yisod, if someone takes away this foundation, v'hatzad ha-mure klal ha-torah v'nitzchiyuta, and you take away the perspective of the eternity of the Torah, Yukach me'eretz chemdateinu. You take that away from the land of our desire. L'chusa aretz. Then you're treating the Torah ki'ilu oyehafsher lahakir et Torah hakedosha. You're treating the Torah as if you can have the Torah, betur dat nifredet v'nivdelet, as a religion that's separate. Me'ayisoda ikri shalamadat Yisrael la'am lifnei Hashem u'ba'arzo. He's saying, if you believe that you can have the same greatness of Torah in chutz la'aretz, when you have the option of Eretz Yisrael, so if, let's say, you refer to Berlin as the new Yerushalayim, right? What you're saying is, that some people were saying this, they were religious, right? What they were saying, I mean, there obviously there was the Reform concept that we don't want Eretz Yisrael anymore. But some people were saying, right, it's a little bit ironic that for many Reform Jews, at the beginning of Reform Judaism, one of the first things they threw away was connection to Eretz Yisrael. And then that changed into the 20th century, where Reform Judaism became only about Eretz Yisrael. And now, with the new modern society, suddenly the many Reform Jews have turned away from Eretz Yisrael. It's a very complicated thing. But I'm saying, even in the religious world, there were people who were saying, listen, there's Yerushalayim, there's Eretz Yisrael, I could be just as good a Jew in Chutz La'aretz. Says Rav Kook, if you say that, you are denying a basic element of Torah. It doesn't mean that everyone, it doesn't mean that you can't be a religious Jew in Chutz La'aretz. But if you believe that you're the same in Chutz La'aretz, then there's something wrong with what you're understanding. So if you take a city, and again, it's hard to say this because, you know, I'm not trying to put anyone down, but
know even Neturei Karta, you know there is a group of Neturei Karta in Yerushalayim. They were going to Jenin carrying Palestinian flags to meet with a family of a jihadist, the head of Islamic Jihad that Israel put in jail. And they asked them, why did you do it? They say, because the Zionists destroy our neshama.
Right.
The Satmar told them, the Arabs wants to kill you, and the Zionists destroy your neshama, so don't do anything. He didn't agree that they'll go to the Palestinians.
Right, right. But
they went.
It's a different topic than this, because...
And they burned the Israeli flags on Yom Ha'atzma'ut.
Yeah. No,
they are Neturei Karta.
Right, but again, that's...
They live in Israel.
Right.
Yeah, and they live in Yerushalayim, in Me'er Sharim.
I hear what you're saying. You're bringing up a subject, but it's not connected to this in the sense that that's a different issue, which is the concept of the Medina, the Israeli government. And that's a separate issue of the Israeli government. He's not talking about the government, right? He's talking about living in Eretz Yisrael. He's talking about a Jew understanding that you're only a complete Jew and you're only able to fulfill the Torah in its most complete way in Eretz Yisrael. So we'll have to leave that issue for a later class when we'll get a little bit into, a little bit more of the connection to secular Zionism. We'll talk about that. So let's hold on to that question.
So
but here...
Israelis that live in America... I feel like we should feel like second citizens.
Second class citizens. I think that's important because he's not saying at this point that you have to live in Eretz Israel. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying you have to recognize that if you don't, that there's something missing, and that if you start treating Chutz La'aretz like this is just as good, that's where the problem begins. So if you develop, let's say, a city like Lakewood and say that this is the center for Torah in the world, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong with your perspective because you think that you can create the primary place of Torah in a place that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he says you're missing a fundamental principle of the Torah. And that's what's happening in this place in the Talmud. Right? So he goes on to say, if you can separate and you can see the Torah as a religion on its own that's not connected to Eretz Yisrael, and you can apply it in New Jersey as if somehow the Torah is not connected to Eretz Yisrael, you're cutting yourself off mi'ayin yishavu ha'pratim et kocha mekdushatam. Where are you pulling your holiness from? You need Eretz Yisrael. And if you cut yourself off like that, then you're cutting yourself off of the source of the holiness, and there's going to be something wrong, missing from your Torah, from your Shabbat, from your observance of mitzvot and chutz la'aretz, if you have this perspective.
I always say when I go to Israel, I challenge my bad ones.
That's what he wants you to understand, right? V'zeh herulo, that's what these rabbis are coming to Hananiah, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, and they're saying, "Biotam lemigdar milta, bilti chashim al diyukei hapratim." Because they're trying to make a point, they say, "You say tameh, we say tahor. You say tahor, we say tameh." Asur mutar. Afu pishen shir lekedushatam ramimut erkam, avol mekor haerech hazeh niskavu barak mikedushat haklal. You cannot make yourself into an individual who somehow you, Reb Hananiah, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, you're the center of Torah. You can't do that. You can't separate yourself mikoach haleumi hamiyuchad haYisraeli hatalui beEretz Yisrael. Let me say those words again, because you can't do it yourself. You can't be the center of Torah, because the center of Torah comes mikoach haleumi, sense of national people. Hamyuchad, the special, unique nationality, HaYisraeli, which is of the Jewish format, HaTalu be'Eretz Yisrael, which is only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what they're coming to. They're saying, again, you could just learn, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, which is how everyone learns, that it's like a rule. It's a pasuk, and the pasuk is telling us that the Torah can only be kept in Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya that the Torah can only be kept in Eretz Yisrael. He's learning, no. This isn't like a rule. The Torah is only in the control of Eretz Yisrael. He's saying you have to understand that the Eretz Yisrael is the place where we are meant to keep the Torah. It's connected to Eretz and the observance of the Torah. Now I want you to remember something interesting. At this time when this debate is happening, there's no Beit HaMikdash. Now, this is after the Churban, which means this isn't a Beit HaMikdash time when you could keep all the Tariyag mitzvot, all 613. It's the same as today. You could not keep all of the mitzvot. The debates about Truma and Maaser and Shemitah and all those debates, whether they apply Bizman HaZeh or not Bizman HaZeh, Min HaTorah, Min HaRabbanan, it was already that time, which means it's the same time as by us. So for anyone to say, no, in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, then yeah, Eretz Yisrael was important, but now there's no Beit HaMikdash, so we can be outside of Eretz Yisrael, we are in Galut, and that's the same. Rav Kook is saying that that's what Hananiah was thinking. And the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, they sent these young rabbis to go and say to them, that's wrong. Even when there's no Beit HaMikdash, even when we can't keep all 613 mitzvot, Eretz Yisrael is still the primary place for the observance of Torah. And when you're keeping it outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's only a secondary place of the observance of Torah. Okay. So what does he answer back to them? So he says back to them, what about Rabbi Akiva? What about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, when he left, he went to Chutz La'aretz, he took the center of Torah with him, and he would send the calendar, so he did it. Says Rav Kook, why did Rabbi Akiva do it? How come Rabbi Akiva could do this? So he says, Im shi yisod ha-Torah hu ledat shemegamata ha-klalit hu kiyumam shal Yisrael, the Torah, the foundation of the Torah, is to understand that the Torah is our survival. No nation has ever survived exile and returned to its land. Or even before, no nation has ever survived being sent all over the world and not disappear. Think, how many generations did it take for the Italians who came to America? Now they're just part of America, right? The Irish, they all came, but they blended in. But the Jews were still, at least those who, which Jews remain unique, those who connect, keep their connection to the Torah. So he says, even though we know that the survival of the Jewish people, Afrachatam be'eretz Yisrael, al pi kol kochotehem anafshim akdoshim, shemorasha kihilat Yaakov, so the true survival and the true thriving of the Jewish people is only in Eretz Yisrael, al pi kochotehem anafshim hakdoshim, because in Eretz Yisrael we're truly calling upon the greatness of our souls, which is the Morasha Kihilat Yaakov. Aval imze, but still, tzarech ladat, you have to know, shatorah b'kiyuma, mitzad b'tchona ha-nitzchi, eina k'shura b'shum mikra v'aretz. But that doesn't mean that it's contingent and can only be kept in Eretz Yisrael. As we saw last week, Hashem offered a plan B. Ekiyah, asher ekiyah, I will be with them in the time when things are good, but I will also be with them in the times when things are bad. When there will be a galut, Hashem continues to remain with us. So Hashem could have locked in the Torah that it should only be in Eretz Yisrael. But there's going to be galut. So Hashem allowed the Torah to detach from Eretz Yisrael. Very interesting perspective.
Look at us. Jewish people always like to be outside Israel. Even when Koresh said, let's build the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't even want to come, many of them.
Right.
So look at us today, how many...
Right, but why? Why didn't the people want to come? Why didn't the people want to come? Because life was comfortable. Right? They had big houses, and they had whatever they wanted, and comfortable jobs, and so that's why they wanted to stay in Babel, or Paras, or Mitzrayim, or Spain. Right? When they said to them, leave in 1492, get out. Right? Either you give up. So what did they say? So many people gave up, unfortunately. But a lot of people left, but the people stayed, and they decided they were going to be crypto-Jews. They would keep the Torah in secret. It didn't work. Right? But what were they thinking? What they were thinking was, life is comfortable. Yeah. I have a job. I have a home. I have my furniture. You know, there's a terrible religious joke that they make. It's a funny joke, but it's really not so funny. About this woman who comes home from hearing a shiur from the rabbi, and she's frantic, and her husband says to her, what happened? He said, well, the rabbi said that Mashiach is going to come, and we're going to fly to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, well, what's wrong with that? He said, well, what about our chickens? How are we going to get the chickens and the cow? And who's going to feed the goat? And who's going to, right, what's going to happen? The husband says to her, don't worry. You know the story in Purim when they tried to kill us and God protected us? She says, yes. You remember the story of Hanukkah when the Greeks, they tried to kill us and God protected us? She said, yes. Do you remember the story? You remember the story of Sisera who tried to kill the Jewish people and God protected? She says, yes. God who protected us from Haman, God protected us from Achashverosh, God protected us from Sisera, God will protect us from Mashiach also. This is an attitude, and that's what you're bringing up, because that's part of the challenge, but that's what Rav Kook, that's who he's trying to speak to. He's trying to say to the people, you have to realize that in order for you to, part of your religious observance is that you want to fulfill the mitzvah in the proper way. You want to connect to the Torah in the deepest way. And for that, you need Eretz Yisrael. He says, but that doesn't mean that the Torah is only for Eretz Yisrael. God did not lock it in. Why? כי בחילופי המצבים ונדידת ישראל בעמים במשך גלות ארוכה ומרה. Because we've moved from nation to nation. אם כל זה תורת השם איתם. We brought the Torah out from Eretz Yisrael and we brought it with us. And it's an interesting way of viewing things, right? We bring the Torah. A lot of people think we keep the Torah. We don't keep the Torah. We're carrying the Torah with us, right? Part of it is the observance. When we bring out the Torah in the shul, we're not bringing out a scroll. We're bringing out our observance, right? Shabbat is in the Torah. It's all in the Torah. Al kein biyot ikar haTorah b'chutz la'aretz. So he says, when we only have the Torah in chutz la'aretz, when the greatest Torah scholars are in chutz la'aretz, gam az yitkayem kol devar k'Torah, you still keep the Torah. There's a Torah of chutz la'aretz. There's a Torah of how you should keep the Torah in chutz la'aretz. She'im hayu advarim tzrichim dafka l'aretz Yisrael, if the Torah had to be in Eretz Yisrael, gam biyot gadol ha'olam b'Torah b'chutz la'aretz, even when the greatest scholars in chutz la'aretz, in other words, if we would have a rule that says, always Eretz Yisrael, even if the greatest Torah sage is in chutz la'aretz, hayenira ki'ilu ha'Torah k'shura b'kiyuma b'Eretz Yisrael, then the Torah would be so deeply connected to Eretz Yisrael, asher tibatel chalila b'natek Yisrael mimena, that when the Jewish people leave Eretz Yisrael, we would lose the Torah. So God allowed for us to pick up the Torah from Eretz Yisrael and to bring it out when Chutz La'aretz is the only place where we can receive Torah.
That's what Rav Kook says.
When you have no ability, when the Torah is centered in Chutz La'aretz, when Rabbi Akiva, who is the biggest Torah scholar in the world, when he's in Bavel, so then the Torah moves to Bavel, because the Torah, there's a Torah for Bavel too. And so the Torah comes out because that's a protection of the Torah, that it's not stuck in one place and it can move, because Hashem knows that the Jewish people will move. As we said, Achyeh Asher Achyeh, I will be with you now, but I will also be with you when you go into exile. So God allowed the Torah some mobility. But you have to understand the reason why God allows that. Is because God promised us, and when God promises, it comes true. It's a temporary thing until you come back. So God allows the Torah some mobility, only so that you can keep it going until Rabbi Akiva comes back, until the Torah Center comes back. But there is Devar Hashem Yakum La'olam, God promised, and it says in the Torah we will come back, and the Jewish people have returned. V'niya shama la'am segula kasha diber Hashem lanu. Al ken imki yachriach hechreach etzem erko shel Torah. Even though we're forced, it has to be. It's got to be this way. That you can have Torah in Galut also. Al kol ha'efshar, but whatever possibility you can have, liot kesher haTorah mityaches al Eretz Yisrael, zehu echad mikraha hagedolim, that is one of the most important things that you can do, is to create the Torah Center in Eretz Yisrael. Not in Chutz La'aretz, not in Lakewood, not in Borough Park, not in Los Angeles, not in Zurich, not in London, not in Berlin, not in Sydney,
not in Skokie,
and not in Baghdad. Right, the Torah Center, wherever possible. Again, there's a possibility that it should move. But the Torah center has to be Eretz Yisrael when it's possible, not just because it's nicer, but because that's the way the Torah was created and made, was that it's linked into the land and the holiness. Part of the holiness that we draw from the Torah is when we recognize that the Torah's place is greater in Eretz Yisrael, and that's part of the source for the Kedusha of of the Torah is its connection to Eretz Yisrael. And just because God did us a favor, so to speak, if you could say it like that, and allowed the Torah some mobility in order to allow for its survival and our survival, doesn't mean that we start treating this secondary position as the primary position when you have the option. So you're right that Rabbi Akiva, when Akiva ben Yosef, when he went, but Hanachle Rabbi Akiva shlo niach kamoto be'eretz Yisrael. He did not leave an option in Eretz Yisrael. When he went out, he took our greatest access to Torah with him because he was Rabbi Akiva. And so we had to follow him. And maybe you, Hananya, when you left, you were also the biggest. But that's not the situation now. So, again, I'm going to emphasize this point. Says Rav Kook, it's about attitude. If you're content in Chutz La'aretz by saying, what do I gain in Eretz Yisrael? I'll keep a few more mitzvot. So for this, what do I have to move? You're missing. It's not a few more mitzvot. Every mitzvah that you do in Eretz Yisrael is its complete fulfillment. And in Chutz La'aretz, it's a b'di'avad secondary fulfillment. And it works. The Torah is available for Chutz La'aretz, but only if you realize that the primary, where then the klal is that it's connected to Eretz Yisrael, and you can draw from it into the pratim. But the creation of the calendar is where you take the kedusha of the Torah and you draw it into time. The Torah says that Shamor et Chodesh Aviv, you should make Pesach. But which day should be Pesach? Now today we have a fixed calendar. But when they didn't have a fixed calendar, the rabbis had to use their knowledge of Torah and understanding of the will of God and use that to draw from the Kedusha of the Torah into time itself.
Yeah, we see that, for example, the Muslims, when they have Ramadan, every year it's on a different month. It can be in the summer.
Right, it moves around.
It can be long and it can be in the winter.
Right, and so according to him, he would say the reason why that is because it's a dead calendar. It's a dead calendar like your clock. Your clock is always moving, but it's dead. The Torah is alive, and because it's alive, it's drawing. It's filled with the Kedusha of the commands of God, and you draw from that, and you can bring that Kedusha into time, and it's the rabbis who can affect. That's what he said. We the language he used before is Shehi sholetet al azmanim, ve'en azmanim sholtim aleha. The Torah is in charge of time, not the other way around. So if the Torah is in charge of time, then that means that your control over time requires the primary place for Torah. So when Rabbi Akiva is in Chutz La'aretz, so then the primary Torah is there, so that's the only place where you can draw the Kedusha of time. But now that we are back at the G'diyim Shinachta Nasuti Hashim, right, when there are great Torah sages in Eretz Yisrael, you have no place to give any place in Chutz La'aretz a term that allows it to be the number one source for Torah. That's not okay. That's what Rav Kook is saying. And so, again, this is...
We are the only religion that have Shana Munberet. So...
Right, the idea that we're controlling time, right? That's where this comes from. So again, I'm going to make I guess I have to finish with this, but this point on in terms of religious Zionism. Again, there are people who are Zionists and they're also religious. They're not religious Zionists, meaning they're religious Zionists, but they're not religious Zionists. Religious Zionism means that you understand that your observance of the Torah, your connection to God, is dependent upon your relationship and connection and perspective and view of Eretz Yisrael. So you can be a religious Zionist in Chutz La'aretz, but you understand the place of Eretz Yisrael. You can be a greater religious Zionist than someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, but thinks that it's nice that we have a land where the Jews are safe. If that's what you think that this is about, right, then yeah, that is Zionism, and you are religious, and you are keeping the Torah better, and it's easier to keep the Torah in many ways in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the culture is very much for it. You know, like someone said, how beautiful is it to live in a land where the person gets on the bus and he has a hard time pulling out the money to pay because he's got a Tehillim and a Talmud in one hand and this and the other. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's great. But to understand that the Eretz Yisrael is part of, it's a part of the Torah HaKedusha. And the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaKedusha, Eretz Chemda, but Eretz Kedusha is linked with the Kedusha of the land and its observance, and your connection to God is strengthened and emphasized in a much greater way through this understanding of Eretz Yisrael. B'ezrat Hashem, we'll move on to a different element of Rav Kook's writings, but certainly right here we have an example of, as we said last week, of Eretz Yisrael and the Torah being essentially, deeply, intrinsically connected to the, as the greatest way for a Jew to be a Jew is when the Torah is centered in Eretz Yisrael.
Thank you so much, Isha.
You're good.